Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 9 through 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. Let's read this passage responsively. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for what you've done for us. Thank you for another good day at church. Your sweet presence was here this morning and it is obvious is here again tonight. I thank you for the great music that we've had this morning and this evening, your folks that are happy and singing and rejoicing, the specials. And Lord, we need you again tonight. Holy Spirit, would you fill us with your power in a special way? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Folks, America is sick. She's mentally sick. According to the government, according to the CDC, according to statistics, 25% of the people in America have some sort of mental illness. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't agree with how they measure it, but I will tell you this, America is sick. America is weak mentally. My wife will tell you, and by the way, I'm not a super intelligent person, and don't amen that very loudly. I've never claimed to be a super brilliant person, but I will tell you this, I do know how to use my mind. My mind is constantly going. The hardest thing for me to do is sleep because I never shut my mind off. My mind is always working. I was driving through the snowstorm last Monday, headed south to go to Tennessee. And I'm writing ideas down for sermons on 3x5 cards while I'm driving a van and listening to all the kids snore. It was great. I walked into a church Wednesday night. I wrote down three different ideas. I walked into a certain thing that we did. I pulled out a card and wrote it down. You say, why? Because I'm always thinking. I'm trying to think and do what I can to help. We walked into an airbrush shirt a place, amen, Josh? And in it, I saw these shirts. You don't know how bad I wanted to buy a boatload of shirts. They were, it said something about fishers of men. I was thinking of the program, amen? I think, Christina, were you back with me when we were, yeah. I said, look at these, she said. Okay, Brother Bush, I said, our spring program. She, oh, yeah. I mean, she's looking at shirts. I'm thinking spring program, amen? You know, it's always on my mind. I keep my mind busy for a reason. Now, these mental illnesses go from what the world would call depression to serious schizophrenia, and other issues. Our country is weak. We have been dumbing down education so long that now 40% of all students never graduate from high school. 40% don't even graduate. How sad. And of that 60% that do, how many of them cannot read and write at a competent level? It's sick. We have And listen to me, I know what I'm talking about here. We have changed the standardized testing in America so many times, and we're to the point in America that in order for schools to pass what they call standardized testing for 2 weeks before they take the tests, the teachers teach what the material is on those tests so their students can even pass those tests. They have practice tests so that they can get their numbers up so that they can get their money from the government. It's no longer what the student knows and can use. It's can they pass a standardized test? Starting, if they have not yet started it, starting in the next 12 months, they've dumbed down the college entrance test, the CAT or the SAT, to where there's no longer a what they call free writing on it. There's no essay questions on it, and they're getting rid of that because the average student could not pass that. America's in trouble. And by the way, it used to be that if you couldn't write, you didn't go on. If you couldn't read, you don't go on. We have students that can't add or subtract without their calculator or their iPhone. But we're not dumbing things down. Now, folks, maybe it's just I'm getting old, but when we took tests, we didn't have calculators. We had to be able to do it either on paper or in our head. It's just the way it was. You say, well, that's not the way society is anymore. I know. Go to the average place of business, and they don't even know how to count change back. Good night. You old-timers know what I'm talking about. I was at Sheetz this morning getting my first extra-large coffee for the day. It was about 10 to 6 or so this morning. I got there, and the kid behind the counter, it was $1.60 or whatever it was for the coffee, and he's just sitting there looking at the register. He's got the three ones back because I handed him a five, and he took three quarters out, and I'm looking at him, and he puts two back and grabs another one, and he's trying to figure and then just hands it back. And I thought, give me 5 minutes, I could teach you a whole lot right now. I remember what it's like when if it was $1.60 and the guy handed you a five, you said, and 10 is 70, 5 is 75, and 25 makes 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's your change, amen? I understood what that meant. Now if you did that, people would look at you and go, like a calf looking at a new gate, amen? They don't even know how to count change back. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. You're going to kill somebody in a minute here. Kids don't read books or research. If it's not on Wikipedia, it's not real information. By the way, about half of what's on Wikipedia isn't even real information. Be careful. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
We no longer write in America. If it's past 140 characters for tweeting or past the abbreviations that everybody has come up with for texting, they can't write anything. If you get a text from me, there's very little, if any, abbreviations. I type the whole stupid thing out and usually put the right grammar with it, including commas, periods, exclamation marks, and question marks. You say, no way. Yes, way. I am not going to dumb myself down over a stupid phone. Everybody doing okay? We don't need to be reading philosophy to be educated. Kids and adults need to be writing. You know, the best way to learn English grammar is to write it. That's why people don't speak appropriately in America anymore. The grammar used by the average American is deplorable. It really is. See, well, I just didn't like grammar. It's not a matter that you didn't like it. You didn't have somebody beat you over the head and drill it into your head to where you would do it appropriately.
Yes,
oh, man. Remember the old fat pencils you used to have to take to kindergarten? You know, the happiest day of my life is when I didn't have to take one of those big fat pencils to school with me. How many of you all know what I'm talking about? All right, you old timers. Good night. You used to have to take a fat pencil to school. And until you learned how to write with that thing, you couldn't graduate to the skinny pencils. Now, listen to this. In many states in America, kindergartners, five-year-olds, are issued an iPad. Fully loaded, internet-capable, phone-capable, and all of their work is done on an iPad and carried with them from grade to grade to grade to grade, and all their grades are done electronically, and they do not write anymore. We now have to rewrite history so that it's polytheistic, which meaning multi-God. It's multicultural and politically correct to match what the liberals want it to say. I hate to tell you, but Abraham Lincoln was not a religious liberal. George Washington was not a Christian hater. And whether the liberals want to say this or not, go to D.C. and look on every building that is a government building in D.C. and it mentions either God, Jesus Christ, or Christian principles, or the Ten Commandments. America was founded on Christian principles. I don't care how FDR initiated the rewriting of history. You shouldn't mention names, okay? Don't, but I will. The average American mind is so weak that we consume thousands of hours of lies with non-truth in TV and our reading so that because the truth is too hard for us. We want to be amused so much that we cannot muse. The word amuse means no think. You go to an amusement park to not think. It takes your mind off of reality. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay, hang in there. America now feels it's best not to tell the truth to protect our young people. In other words, we've been taught to lie to our kids in an effort to protect them. Folks, I don't lie to my children. When their puppy dog died, I told them their puppy dog died. I didn't tell them that it just ran away and we'll never see it again. That's a lie. Oh, they might cry. Yeah, that's part of life. Death is part of life. I'm sorry. You say, oh, you're going to warp your children. Folks, what are they going to do when they get 20 years old and find out that things literally do die? It's not a game that you change the screen and it comes back to life. It's why we got children going into schools with guns, because we've trained them to kill with their video games. It's not the gun. How come we want to outlaw the gun and not the video game? Let's go back to the video games and outlaw the video games and the guns will be okay. Man, I'm about to get preaching here in a second. We're told by politicians that they are smart and people that believe the Bible are dumb. That it's okay to be a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Shinto, but if you're a Christian, you're weird and you're wrong. Everybody doing all right? No wonder over 25% of Americans are mentally ill. They believe what's on the news and the internet more than they believe the Word of God. Folks, if you believe the news, you really are mentally sick. Americans can't handle a mental load anymore. They can't. Follow me around for a week. I'll show you what a mental load is. And I'm not the busiest pastor in America, trust me. But I can handle a good bit. If we can't Google it or YouTube it, then it can't be done. Ouch! What did people do before there was YouTube and Google? Amen, Brother Brining? You figured a way out. Yes, stupid GPS. Give me a map over GPS any day. Lord have mercy. I wasn't sure where this cabin was, so we entered it into the GPS. I can get down to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, been there 8 times, put the stupid GPS on. They took us up over the mountain, around the mountain, off the mountain, back up the mountain again. I'm not kidding. I had 4 people in the van going, ah, 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 and it was foggy. It's a good thing they really couldn't see. If they saw what I knew was out there, they'd have been walking. GPS took me 20 minutes out of the way to get to the stupid cabin. Brr, I hate GPS. Anyway, give me a... And by the way, let me just say this. We've gotten so lazy with our minds that if we don't have a smartphone, we can't live. Your smartphone has dumbed you down. And by the way, I have one. It's not sinful to have one. But I used to have about 1,000 phone numbers memorized. My smartphone has made me dumb to where I don't remember phone numbers anymore. I'll be the first one to tell you that. Tonight, I want to teach you how to get or to stay strong mentally. I want to show you children how to be strong mentally. I'm sick and tired of boys and girls saying, I hate school, the workload's just so hard. Gag. You've got all the gadgets, and we spend trillions of dollars on public education to put out idiots. If I pulled a book off my shelf written in the 1800s, most people in this room couldn't read it or couldn't understand it. Because you were trained by idiots. I'm sorry. And those books were written before electric lights and before people that even went to high school. They had 5th, 6th, 7th grade education and were smarter than most people that graduate from college now. Do you realize the first 5 presidents never graduated from high school? They didn't have high school back then. But they had college educations, and many were taking college courses by the time they were middle teenagers because they applied themselves and worked and could carry a mental load. Okay, moving on. Number one, man's mind is tainted by sin. Man's mind is tainted or has been damaged by sin. Titus chapter 1, let me turn there real quickly. Titus chapter 1, verse number 5. Bible says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. That's not the right verse. Verse 15, I can't read my own handwriting. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now, I didn't say that, folks. God did. God said unto the pure, all things are pure. That means their mind. But listen to this. But them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. By the way, all of you qualified for the unbelieving before you got saved. That means your mind is defiled and tainted and your conscience seared by sin. Your mind is damaged by sin. You say, no, it's not. We'll leave you alone for about a week with nothing but your mind and find out what perverse things you think.
Right. Yes, sir. You're right.
See, sin has caused man's thoughts to be all muddled by sin. And sin causes our thoughts not to be like God's. By the way, that's how Satan tempted Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Eve, wouldn't you like to take of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Wouldn't you like to be like God and decide for yourself what is right and wrong? He was tempting her mind. Everybody doing all right? We don't teach anyone how to think sinfully. We do it naturally. Do you know you don't have to teach a child to sin? They do it naturally. Brother Logue, you let them boys out there on your property by themselves long enough, they're going to figure out something wrong. You don't have to teach them to do wrong. You know, your sweet little girl, you don't have to teach her to have a bad attitude. It comes real naturally. You know, you don't have to teach a child to roll their eyes when they don't agree. They do it naturally. Now, if you grew up at my house, they got slapped out of your head the first time you did it, and you didn't have a chance to do it second time. But may I say this, you don't have to teach somebody's mind to sin. It does it quite naturally. Number two, everybody ready? You should not let circumstances control your mind. Your mind should control the circumstances. Now, listen to this. The power of positive thinking is stupid. You know, I think I can, 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 I think I can. Oh, I am positive that if I just believe right, this pulpit's going to lift itself up off the ground. Right. Folks, you can believe positive all you want, but I hate to tell you something, the power of positive thinking does not work. It may cause you to do things you don't think you can do, and I would agree with that. Had to laugh. Of course, if you've ever been in Gatlinburg, you know what I'm talking about. There's about 14,237 shops in a four block range. They're everywhere, piled three deep, three high, everywhere else. It's great. There's all kinds of stuff. There's haunted houses. There's museums. There's everything. Walk by one of these stupid haunted houses and you hear this guy on a loudspeaker. I still remember my last thought when I was alive. Watch this, y'all. I thought it was funny. We were laughing. I'm standing there going, that's funny. That's kind of the way our minds are. We think we can. Guess what? There's sometimes you can't. You're a human being. There are some things you cannot do. You know, Brother Hawkins, I could think all I want that if I throw my keys up in the air, that they're not going to hit the ground. I'm positively thinking that my keys will not hit the ground. Oh, I'm so depressed. That's the way America lives. Am I right? Oh, my soul. Man cannot think some things not to happen. Man is not God. The power of positive thinking is humanism, that you are your own God and you can make life happen around you. I think you ought to schedule your mind. I think you ought to schedule your mind. Some of you in recent days, in recent years, have lost loved ones. If you're not careful, your grief will drive you and steal your mind. Do you know I plan when to think about things and folks that have died? I don't just let it come up all the time. I plan my grief. You say, you're weird. I'm happy you're not. When those thoughts come, I say, oh, not time to think about it. There'll be a time. I'm already planning my grandmother's funeral. I've got her funeral message just about outlined. Say why? Because I plan on crying for a while. I plan on hurting for a while. But I'll tell you what, after I preach her funeral and after I get the news that she's gone, it will not affect 1 second of me meeting your needs and 1 second of me behind this pulpit consuming my thoughts. You're not going to have to wonder, oh, he's going to be emotionally unstable for a couple weeks when his grandma... No, I'm going to be fine. I will be fine. Guess what? My grandma's going to be dancing in heaven. She's going to be running up and down. First person she's going to look up is Jesus. The second one is grandpa. And she's going to be reunited with grandpa. And I tell you what, I would not want to get between those two when they get there. Because she's going to jump up into his arms and give him a big old hug like she hadn't been able to give him for the last 34 years that he's been there and she's not been. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to be sad for her. I'm going to be sad for me. The first Saturday morning when I picked the phone up to call her, because I've been doing it for 25 years and I'm going to go, yep, that's right, not time for that. She's not there anymore. I just talked to you from here. I'll take time to miss her. But I'm not going to let it consume my life. That's how you schedule things. By the way, there's times I don't deal with certain things. For instance, if it's been a long, hard day, my wife will say, "Honey, can you help me with the bills?" I might say, "Can we do it tomorrow morning? Or can you give me a couple hours to get my mind settled down, because it's been way too heavy. It's not time for me to think about it. I'll kill somebody. And I won't think about it." You say, "You do that?" Yeah. Now, I don't put it off for weeks and months and years like some of you do. Hours. You say, "Why?" Because I got to get my mind ready for it. Sometimes it's just too heavy. For instance, I don't counsel before a church service. Now, if you've got a quick question or something, I might answer it. But before I preach on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, I'm not going to have you come to my office and give me all this bad news. And I've got to digest this thing before I get up and preach and try to encourage you. You just shot down the encourager. Now, after church, I'm strong enough. I can handle it. I got time to recover. No problem. But, you know, don't stand out there and say, "Preacher, I know your enemy's here tonight. We're praying for you." Just shut up. Don't tell me that kind of stuff. I don't know who my enemy is anyway, other than the devil. I don't care. God may not want me to know that so that I'll preach the truth the way he wants it, so that enemy might get right with God and they're not my enemy anymore. But you might taint it. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. By the way, I'll just say this. That's one reason I don't bring a lot of negative prayer requests to our church. I've been to the average church on a Wednesday night, what they call Wednesday night prayer meeting. It is the most depressing service I've ever been to in my life. "Oh, pray for Aunt Susie. She's got cancer. And pray for Aunt Susie's dog's foot. It's got a tick on it that got infected, and they might have to cut the toe off." And you've got all these depressing things, and you're thinking, "Oh, God, the whole world's going to come apart. I just watched 10 minutes of the news, and everybody in the world's killing, hates America, going to come over here and destroy us. The economy's falling through the tank. And now everybody's sick. Oh, man, I came to get encouraged. Now I'm depressed." Now, if we've got a serious need, I might mention it, but I hate to tell you, I'm not going to bring every prayer request before the church. I'm here to encourage you, not depress you. Everybody doing all right? If I feel like something's important enough that we need to join together, let's do it. And I might let you know somebody lost a loved one. Praise the Lord. They're in heaven. They're hurting and we need to help them. Okay, that's fine. But I hate to tell you, I'm not doing it every service, just so you know. I'm not one of the, when I taught in the Christian school and Christian college, I didn't start my class off with prayer requests. You know, the worst way to start a Sunday school class is with a bunch of prayer requests. You'll be depressed before you ever get to teach. You'll knock the spirit of your Sunday school class down. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm trying to help everybody. Let's have some fun. Let's enjoy life. Yeah, the prayer request is there. I'm not against it. I'm not saying I'll never bring a prayer request before you. But I promise you, if I ask for a prayer request, everybody in this room has got some negative they could bring. If I let 100 people give 100 negative things, how's that going to affect our church service? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then they print it out and put it on a sheet. Take this home with you. Good night. I'd rather have you take this home with you, read it, and get encouraged. Amen? Okay, somebody has a need. Let's help them. You know, Brother Rick lost his stepdaddy here a little over a week ago, and I mentioned it. And there's others, and there's people in this room right now that have loved ones that are sick. I didn't even mention some of it. I'm so proud of Brother Ron and Miss Tammy. He let me know this week he had a nephew, 15-year-old nephew, that had Down syndrome. He was sick. Pray, preacher, pray. We know it's not going to be long. Same day, the little boy passed away. But can I tell you something? That little Down syndrome boy's in heaven right now. There's no mourning. Now, the family's hurting, and I understand that. Our church could hurt over that. Can I tell you something? I didn't mention it on purpose. Most of you don't even know him anyway. You're just here to encourage Ron and Tammy. Praise the Lord. I saved it for tonight on purpose. Well, I don't think you ought to do that. Okay, when you pastor, you do it the way you want. But guess what? We've got a great spirit, and I don't want to mess it up. Boy, that's good stuff. No, you're playing favorites. No, I'm not playing favorites. You know, the saved can borrow brains. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ooh, do you realize you can borrow the mind of Christ? There's ways you can do that. Number one, you can yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to control your mind and give you the mind of Christ as you make decisions. Most of you don't know the mind of Christ well enough to be able to do that. So, the next thing you can do is, you can get in that book right there and find out what the mind of Christ is. He wrote it down for you. He showed you how to make the decisions. By the way, it's funny to me, they have to make easier Bibles to understand. Oh, that King James Bible is too hard to understand. All the thees and thous. Thee means the or you. Amen. Thou means you. Ye means you. That was real hard, wasn't it? It's amazing. People that call me ignorant have to have an easier Bible to understand. I'm not having any troubles at all with this one. You can borrow the mind of Christ. You can yield to the Holy Spirit. You can read the Word of God. Or you can go get counsel from a godly person, man of God, or a person that knows the Scriptures extremely well, and get their advice on what the Bible says you should do. That's how you borrow brains. If I was going to build a cabinet, you ought to see the doghouse I built. My dog wouldn't even stay in it. It was so bad. But if I was going to build something, I'd go to a guy like Brother Ecker that knows what he's doing and say, let me borrow your brain for a little bit because I know you know what to do here. I don't know anything about it. If I was going to do electrical work, you say, what would you do? I'd call one of our electricians and let them do it because I'm not touching that nasty stuff. Say, why? Colorblind people should have no business touching wires. I don't even like going to Home Depot or Lowe's and touching it on the spool at the store. Say, why? I'm afraid of that stuff. Now, how do we think? Take your Bible, and I promise you, I will not be long. It might take me another 5 or 6 minutes, and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. If you want to know how to think, I'm going to show you what God says how you should think. It's real easy. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, watch this, think on these things. Wow. God gives us 6 things, 6 guidelines for how to think successfully. You ready? Number one, by the way, use this verse. Some of you ought to memorize this verse, whether you should think about something or not. Number one, think on things that are true. Think on things that are true. Listen to me, boys and girls, listen to me. There's nothing sinful with you reading nonfiction books, but I think you ought to read 5 to 1 real books over fiction. Parents, listen to me. Listen to me. If they don't know what the truth is, they're believing a lie. Harry Potter's a lie, and it's wicked, and it's demonology, as I said this morning. No person ought to be reading that trash. Some of you women are reading more love and romance novels than you are the Word of God. What's wrong with this picture? Is it true? By the way, when someone says something, is it true? Just because someone says that someone says that someone says it doesn't mean it's true. Have you all been through some of that mess? That's called gossip. By the way, it's not truth because you think they said it was the truth. Investigate it. Hollywood is not truth. There is nothing about Hollywood that is truth, just so you know.
Yes,
all of it's fake.
Right.
Boys and girls, teenagers, I hate saying this, we're in a generation, I got to say this, mommies and daddies, video games are not true. God says, don't think about things that are not true. I didn't say it was sinful to play a video game. Some of them are. If you're stealing cars and fighting and killing people, that's wrong. Sorry. But what were you guys playing on the trip? There was a Wii there. They were playing Mario Cars or something or other. This little dude jiggers that are, they were racing. You ought to see people that can't even drive a car try to drive one of those things on a stupid screen. No wonder they get in so many accidents as teenagers. Good night. They're killing each other. Now, wait a minute. Was there anything wrong with that? No, there was not. But there was a game on the shelf called Call of Duty. I said, it stays there. It's not coming down off that shelf. You're not playing that trash. Everybody doing okay? Say, what is that? You're going around with guns shooting and killing people? I'm just going to throw this out here and get everybody mad at me all at one time. So get ready. Most of your social networking isn't true either. God said, think on things that are true. By the way, if you're so addicted that you're thinking about your video game right now and not thinking about the preaching, get rid of the video game and think about preaching. If you're thinking about your video game more than you are thinking about your schoolwork, get rid of the video game, mom and dad, and let them do their schoolwork. Number two, think on things that are honest. Can I tell you something? We got to think the truth. Honestly. You know, you need to teach your children to tell the truth, whether it hurts them or whether it helps them. By the way, that means you tell the truth, whether it hurts you or helps you. And that means at work. Some of you could move up corporately if you just tell the truth, even if it hurts you. You know, sometimes a boss just wants you to tell the truth, and he'll test you to see if you are telling the truth, if you would have enough guts and integrity to tell on yourself. Boy, that's good stuff. Oh, my. Next, think on things that are just. Now, everybody look at me. I'm going to someday preach on justice a little bit more than I am tonight. But some of us form way too many opinions before we know all the facts. The United States news media is the most unjust organization in the world. Case in point, and I'm not for or against, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but the Trayvon Martin, how it was handled, was unjust. We had people formulating opinions, expressing their opinions in politics and the news media. The guy was hung out to dry and guilty before he ever even went to trial. Folks, that's not just. And I'm not afraid to make this statement. How could the president of the United States form an opinion and he didn't even know what the facts were?
Yes, right. Yes.
How could any senator or congressman form an opinion and they didn't even know what the facts were? Wasn't even 3 days into the situation and they already had formed their opinion and got people against it. Say, what was your opinion? I couldn't tell you an opinion until the court decided because I didn't hear all the information and neither did you.
Right. Yes, sir. Right.
Say, what's your opinion? He's innocent because a jury found him innocent. How many of you heard the entire process and every fact of it? Not just what the news reported. Guess you don't have a right to have any better opinion either, do you? That's called justice, just so you know. And I got to go on. Whatsoever things are pure. That means shut up about gossip. Quit talking about sinful things. Quit talking about rock. And by the way, that's why rock music, jazz music, and etc. should not be thought on. They're not pure. Some of you think about country western music way too much. listen to the words and how immoral country western music is. Everybody doing all right? Man, I just ripped on the parents tonight. Amen, boys and girls, I'm helping you. Amen. Next, think on things that are lovely. That means things that cheer you that are not sinful or wrong. You know, things that are lovely, my wife, she cheers me. I don't think about your wife, I think about my wife. Looking at filthy porn and filthy all this other garbage. By the way, whether it's on the computer or whether it's in a book or in a book stand somewhere, it's still wrong. By the way, not thinking things that are critical. By the way, that's why vengeance is wrong. If you're trying to get back at somebody, that's not pure. That's not lovely. Why not think about things that please God? Boy, that's good stuff. Lastly, things that are of good report. Let me ask you a question. What encourages you? Do you even know? I have a list of things that I know encourage me. And when I am not encouraged, I can go to one or multiple ones of those things and think on those things and get encouraged in a hurry. I know how to encourage myself by thinking on good report. Boy, that's good. Some of you are depressed and don't even know what causes you to be depressed. I know what causes me to be depressed. I know what discourages me. Can I tell you what? I got a list of things that discourage me. I got things that encourage me. I know what makes me angry. You know, I have a list of things that makes me angry. You know, the hardest thing in the world is being a Christian school principal. Because there's times you got to be mean and you don't feel like being mean. You got to correct a kid and they say something funny and the hardest thing to do is not laugh. I'm not kidding. I used to call it putting my principal face on. I'd have to chew into somebody. You say, what'd you do? I'd pull out those things that make me angry. And I'd look at that thing while that cute little kid's looking at me going, yee. Oh, my soul. There's other times I had to say, hang on just a second. I'd walk out in the front office and shut the door and go, I'm out there laughing my head off at just what happened. You say, you shouldn't do that. I didn't do it in front of them. Some of you parents hurt your own authority by laughing at your children when you're trying to correct them. You better have yourself under control before you do it. Everybody doing all right? I don't care how cute you think it is. You better learn what encourages you. Think on those things that are of good report. And again, that's another reason I don't bring a lot of negative to the pulpit to you. Say why? Because I'm trying to keep it of good report. You want to know why Americans are weak mentally? Look at the news. How much good report is there? Read the newspaper. How much good report is in the news? Some of you spend way... And by the way, I keep up with current events. I really do. But I know how to filter through it. And it's not the first thing I do, nor the last thing I do. You say, why? That's depressing. I've learned how to sift through the news and look past the emergency of everything. Oh, we have global warming. That is the biggest crock. We've gone through the coldest winter we've been through in over 20 years. So much for global warming. They sent a ship, listen to this, they sent a ship full of people to prove global warming was going on to the South Pole in December. Now, just so you know, December at the South Pole is summertime, not wintertime. They were going to show how bad things were. Three ships got stuck in the ice. Their global warming trip got hurt dramatically. They were counting on people in the world to not realize that everything south of the equator in December was not summertime there, it's wintertime. And they were going to show how the ice was breaking up and the poor polar bears don't have any ice. It's summertime down there, folks. Everybody doing all right? We're too weak to even know what's going on. Now, I know how to look at the news and look at that and say, you're stupid. There's no such thing as a polar vortex. It's called winds aloft. It's been around since creation. And it happens every year. That's why it was 15 below in Babbitt, Minnesota this morning where my in-laws live. And it was 40 here, praise God. Oh, it was a polar vortex. It's not a polar vortex. Look it up. There is no such thing. Every year, the winds aloft pick up air from Canada and come down here. That's why it's called winter time. It happens. Do you know that there wasn't one record temperature set? As far as globally speaking, for the coldest winter? It was the fourth warmest winter we've had globally. Everybody doing all right? We only watch what's happening here. We don't look at all of it. Folks, we're weak mentally. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things just, whatsoever things lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things, every head bowed, every eye closed. We're so guilty of being weak mentally that we don't think about the Word of God. Who'd say, preacher, tonight if I died, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I don't have any doubt at all, I know I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I died tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. Some of us are weak mentally. Boys and girls, some of you need to decide you're going to buckle down and get your schoolwork done. Moms and dads, some of you need to buckle down and help your kids learn how to think. Get rid of the non-think stuff and put think things in their place. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that truth tonight, I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Hands everywhere.